Okay, so it's been a few months, but if you remember what we did last time, so we were in the middle of the Elisha stories, and Elisha in general, more than any other Navi probably, right, Eliyahu and Elisha, but Elisha even more than Eliyahu, is the miracle worker of the prophets. Now, in the previous prakim that we've seen, Elisha is mostly involved with Jewish miracles. But once you get to Perek Hay, we start to see sort of the expanding concentric circles that the influence Elisha has is beyond just the Jews, and it's on the non-Jewish world as well, and it influences the way people think about God. So the character that we're introduced to is Naaman. So Naaman, as you see in Perek Hay Pasuk Aleph, Naaman Sarsav HaMelech Aram Haya, Ish gadol lifnei Adonav unesofanim givonatan Adonai chuala Aram vaish haya gibor chayal mitzora. So Naaman was this general of the king of Aram, and the king held him in high esteem because Hashem had, and this is part of the theology that we've seen, is that at this point Hashem wants Aram to be winning. So Naaman happens to be on the right side of history, right? God has already decided that Aram is going to win the wars. And the general happens to be Naaman. So from the vantage point of the king, Naaman is this very impressive general. So, I mean, he is strong, he is powerful, but his one downfall is that he is a mitzora. Now, tzara'at, one of the things to note with tzara'at is, right, traditionally, the most famous of the midrashim is that tzara'at is caused by Lashon Hara. But Chazal actually have multiple opinions as to what causes it. Like, there are multiple Averot that can cause it. One of the sins that Chazal outline that you can get Sarad for is not only Lashon Hara, but simply arrogance. And that is definitely evident in this story. If you think about it, Rabbi Etchalom notes this, that if you actually follow all the examples through in the Torah, there is a lot to lend itself to this notion that it's arrogance. So in Naaman, we'll see in a moment that the whole story is about his arrogance, and his healing only happens when he humbles himself. But even Miriam, which is the classic case where she gets tzara'at because people think of Lashon Hara, that's only part of the story, right? If you look at what Hashem actually says, he says that the reason she gets tzara'at is not because she spoke about Moshe, but because she believed that she was a Navi at the level of Moshe, right? Because when she criticizes Moshe at the end of Parshas Shlach, right? One second. Then, right before Shlach, right before the story of the...
I'm cheating because it's like Mitzvah.
Got it. Yeah, no, it's right before the story of the Meraglim. So when Hashem criticizes her, he says that her sin really was Vayomer Shimuna Dvarai Im Yen Vyachem Adonai B'Marai Lavet Vada B'Chalom Adaber Bo. Every other Navi I speak to in a vision, Lo Chein Avdi Moshe B'Chol Beitin Emanu, but not Moshe, who I speak to directly. Pe'al Pe'a Adaber Bo Marev Lo B'Chilot Murana Yabit. So why weren't you afraid about talking about Moshe? I mean, it is Lashon Hara, but it sounds like, and again, this is where Chazal get it from, that part of her sin is really just the fact that she assumed that she was at his level, right? And that's what she hit, right? What she had said earlier, right? God also spoke to us, right? It's that level of arrogance. You get it later with the King Uzziah, who is a good king for most of the time, but then he decides that he wants to be a Kohen also. It's not enough that he's only a Melech. He also wants to be a Kohen, and when he goes to bring the Ketoret, so he gets Tzara'at. So in Naaman, though, we're really going to see this, that his sin seems to be, we don't know what his sin was, but we know that it's solved by getting rid of arrogance, which does indicate that perhaps the sin originally was arrogance. So, at any rate, he has tzara'at. Va'aram yatzu gdudim va'ishbu me'eret Yisrael na'araktana v'tihilifnei eshet Naaman. Now, they had gone to war, and one of the captives that they had was this young Jewish girl. And she was the servant to, she was the maid to Naaman's wife. Now, one of the things Yair Zakovich points out throughout this whole perek, I think we touched on this, but maybe not, is that the entire perek is basically driven by very powerful, arrogant figures who, despite their seeming self-reliance, consistently their salvation comes from the small people, right? It's really a story about this humbling of people. So what you get is Vatomer Gvirta Achale Adoni Lifnei Navi Asher B'Sharon Az Yasofo Tom Mitzarato. So here the first advice comes to this great and powerful Naaman from this general to advise that this captive girl, this maid, gave to her mistress, who was Naaman's wife, who said, "Look, I have a solution. If Naaman wants to be healthy, if he wants to be cured from his tzaraat, so then he should go to the Navi Asher B'Sharon." Right, the Navi and Shimon, and he'll be okay. So they told him that this young girl said, go to, right, this Jewish girl told such and such. Right, and then we've talked about this a bit, that throughout the story of Melachim, and especially here in Elisha, there is this belief amongst the false Nevi'im, or the non-Jews, or the idolatrous Jews, that the role of the Navi is to be the lackey of the king. I don't know, whatever word you want to use. Meaning, he's subservient to the king. He's not independent. He works for the king. He works for the court. So Naaman assumes that that's what this means. Right? That when there's a Navi, it's a political Navi. And therefore, instead of sending a letter to Elisha, he sends a letter to the king. Vayomer Melech Aram, Lech Bovesh Lecha Sefer El Melech Yisrael, right? He goes up the chain and he has the king of Yisrael, of Aram, send a political letter to the king of Yisrael. Vayelech Bikach Biado Eser Kikre Kesef Eshesh Elfim Zahav Eser Chalifot Begadim, and he sends this fortune of money, right? 10 talents of silver and 6,000 gold and 10 clothing, the changes of clothing. And he sends the message that says to the king, look, when my servant shows up, when Naaman shows up, heal him. Right? So you see that the false theology that you get here is that everyone thinks that the king has power over the Navi, and therefore the proper way to deal with this is that one king says to the other, who's under his dominion, because Aram is, you know, superior to Israel, look, you better do as I say. You have a good magician, basically. You have a good doctor. Right? That's basically the view of the Navi. He's a magician. He's a doctor. So he says, look, I hear you have a good doctor. I'm willing to pay you for your time, but you'd better do this. Right? You'd better heal my general.
What was the connection between Aram and Israel?
So Aram at that point is like Israel is paying tribute to Aram. Right? Israel is... Aram is the more powerful kingdom, and Yisrael is basically subservient to them at this point, right? They're paying tribute to them. They're the lower kingdom.
I can just tell you what Kasuto says. It's also interesting. He said the girl didn't know the name of the Navi. That's why the king had to ask the Melech Israel to introduce him to the Navi, because they didn't know who it was.
Oh, interesting. So it could be, right? It could just be that they know of a Navi. It's like this mythical figure, right?
Right, so they know who to ask, and then Melech Aram asked Melech Israel, please bring us to the right person.
So that's like a softer...
What Kasuto is saying.
Right, so that's like a softer read, right? I would take a harder read, that you know, he assumes that it's not just introduced, that, like, that the king has power over the Navi, right? And therefore he's... Well, my read is based on the next pasuk. Right, that if you see the way he reacts, it doesn't seem like just a nice introduction. This isn't like a, you know, an introductory email. Because what happens in Pasuk Zayin is Vayikra Melech Yisrael a Sefer. When the king reads it, Vayikra Begadav, he tears his clothing. Vayomer Elohim, Elohim ani lahamid lachiyot kizeh shalecha elai lasov ish mitzaratel. What am I, God, that I can magically solve this tzaraat problem? He said, I know this isn't real, right? This is this is a pretense for him to wage war against me, right? He just assumes that if the king's asking him to do this, it's just an excuse, right? He assumes that he's not going to be able to do it, and he wants a reason to wage another war against Yisrael. So, meaning, even if Kasuto is right, that's not how the king views it, right? The Melech Yisrael understands that what the Melech Aram wants is that there is this doctor or magic, you know, Navi or whatever, who works for him, and he expects him to either, you know, listen to the rules, right? Heal his general or pay the price, right? He just assumes this is all fake. But again, the theology here is that he assumes that Nevi'im work for the king, and therefore it's in the purview of the king to say, oh, you're a prophet, you know, I need help, I need you to heal somebody, go do it for me. But that's obviously not how it works in real Nevuah. And therefore, the king doesn't even bother. But instead, what happens is Elisha hears what's going on. He hears what's going on, and he, of his own initiative, enters into the fray. And he has, Vayich Hishmo Elisha Isha Elohim, Ki Kara Melech Yisrael Begada, Vayishlach HaMelech Lemor, Lama Karate Begadecha, Yavono Eilai V'yadak Yesh Navi B'Yisrael. So what are you so worried about? Tell him to come to me. Let him come to me, and he'll know there's an Navi B'Yisrael. But here what you get is the beginning, and this is what Rav Samet really develops, if I remember correctly, that the goal of this perek is to teach the non-Jews ki yesh navi b'Yisrael. But what does that mean? Not just that there is a prophet, but that Jewish prophets are not, you know, they're not servants of the king. They're real prophets. And therefore, you know, you don't ask the king to heal. You want the Navi to heal you, you come to the Navi. Right? The Navi represents God. So he says, look, let him come to me, and not that I'll heal him. This will be my way of educating Naaman as to what it means to have a prophet. Vayavo Naaman b'susav v'rechbo, vayamod petach habayit l'Elisha. So Naaman comes, and now remember that the emphasis of Naaman here is the humbling of Naaman. So Naaman comes with his whole entourage. He comes with his horses, he comes with his chariot, and he stands outside. Vayishlach elav Elisha malach lemor, haloch verachatz tasheva pemim b'yardein v'yashov b'sarcha lecha v'utehar. So Elisha, instead of giving him the respect that Naaman assumes he deserves, he says, he doesn't even talk to him. He sends a messenger and says, go bathe, right? In the Yarden, which is embarrassing, right? Because it means that you in your royal clothes, you've got to strip down naked, right? I'm not even going to be there. I'm just giving you instructions to a messenger and go humble yourself, go, you know, and go bathe in the river. Vayered. Vayered, second, I skipped, didn't I? Vayiktof Naaman, vayilach. He said, what is this? Right? I thought he'd come out, wave his hands, right, wave his magic wand, say the name of God, and the Mitzara would go away, right? Meaning he views Nevi'im like magicians, and he wants respect, right? Those are the two things that you see, right? He said, first of all, I'm annoyed because I wanted him to come out to me, right? What's this messenger, and he's sending me to do something? And B, he thinks that, you know, Nevi'im are magicians, right? Literally. He wanted to wave his hand, right? Wave his hand, say the magic words. The word is God. I don't care what the word is. And then Sarah will go away. What was this? He's telling me to go do something. And he's just upset at what he tells him to do. And he says, and what is he telling me to do? He's telling me to go into this pathetic river, the Yarden. Halo tov amanau farpar narot damesek mikol meimei Yisrael. Halo rechatz behem v'taharti. Vayifen v'yelech lechiman. He said, if I already have to take a bath in a river, I'll go to the rivers in Damasek, which are better than any of the rivers in Israel, right? Like, he doesn't come to me. He doesn't wave his magic wand. He sends me to this pathetic river in Israel. Like, you know, this is beneath me. The whole thing is beneath me. And then, as Zakovich points out, Naaman, who's this high and, you know, high and powerful, arrogant guy, so he got into this whole mess because of a maidservant. And now what's going to push him again to actually listen is, again, a servant, right? Meaning as much as he's, you know, this chashuv person, it's consistently he only gets salvation when he listens to the little people. So, Vayikshu avadav yedabru elav vayomru, Avi, davar gadol hanavi diber elecha, lo taseh, ve'af ki yomar elecha rechatzu tahar. He said, listen, if the Navi had told you to do something big, you would have done it, right? Because it would have been impressive, right? If he told you, climb Mount Everest and you'll be healed, you would have said, oh, that's up to my kavod. He said, but they're like, be rational. He just told you to take a bath, right? You would have, if he told you to do some amazing feat and that's what it would have cured you, so you would have done that. He told you to take a bath. What do you care, right? What do you care? Do it. And, you know, try it. Like, what could it hurt, right? And again, he's brought off his high horse by these servants who said, look, I know it's not up to your kavod. I know you wanted the Navi to come to you. I know you wanted, you thought he'd wave his magic wand or he'd tell you to do something impressive. But what could it hurt? Look, you might as well try. So he's convinced. Vayirid vayitbol bayadein sheva pamim kidvar isha Elohim. Vayashab sarok kivsar na'ar katon vayitar. So he listens, and here's the key words. He listens kidvar isha Elohim, right? He actually listens for a moment because Elisha said it, right? There's a moment of humbling himself where he actually says, you know what, I'll try it. I'll actually try listening for once. Right? I'll listen to God. I'll listen to the man of God. And here you get this very conversion imagery, right? He goes in and his skin is healed and he's like a nar katan, right? He becomes like a child again, right? There's this, like, you know, the way we talk about a ger, that he goes to the mikvah, he comes up a new kid, right? It's ger, you know, ger nizgar kikaton she nola dami. So the same thing, right? He goes in, he's like a new person, like a young child. And here, you see his total transformation of attitude, right? Because this moment of humbling himself that actually works, shakes him out of his arrogance. Vayashav Elisha Elohim, who v'chol machaneu v'yavo v'yamod lefanav. And now everything changes. He comes this time with his whole camp, and he goes, last time he demanded Elisha come out to him. But now he's seen that Elisha is real. He comes into Elisha, and he stands before him, and he says, now I know that this is the real God, right? You're not a fake. You don't work for the king. You're not in it for the honor. You're not in it for anything. You are the real deal, right? I get it. I admit it. Here, please take a present, right? He's begging him, right? Before, he was willing to pay him a fortune because that's dignified, you know, like the big wealthy guy, he finds the best doctor in the world, I'll pay you $1 million. Right now, he realizes Elisha's not in it for the money, right? So he doesn't just give him the money, he has to beg him to accept money, right? He's like, please take a token of my appreciation because I can't really repay you, right? I understand this is not, you're not the best doctor in the world that I'm paying off. Right? You are the real deal. You're the Isha Elohim. There's a real God. Please just take a token of my appreciation. Let me do something. And Elisha doesn't let him. And he says, no. I want you to understand that I'm a real Navi and I'm not in it for the money. I'm really, really not in the money. So he said, I swear by God, I'm not taking anything. And he pressures him and he says, no, I don't want anything, right? The whole point here is a theological lesson. He wants to teach him. There is a real God, the Israel. I'm a real Navi. I'm not in it for the money, right? And what healed you was your recognition that I am a Navi, that I am an Ish Elokim. And then the message gets across, right? The message gets across. Vayomer Naaman, he says, okay, fine. I won't give you a present, but let me at least give you 2 mules. But my real commitment to you is from now on, I'm never going to bring a carbon to an idol ever again. I worship from here on in, I worship God. Right? It made such an impression on him, right? Elisha's miracle, plus his humility, plus his conviction that it's not about money. So Naaman gets it, and he says, okay, the deal I'll make with you is that's it. I'm never, ever going to worship an idol again. We're done. Except, and then this funny moment, he said, just one thing you got to forgive me, which is that, if you remember, in the ancient world, the idols were signs of political power, right? Each god was connected to a nation. So he says, look, when I'm with the king and we go to the local political temple, I gotta bow down. I don't mean it. He's like, forgive me. In my heart of hearts, I believe in God. But I can't. Politically, I can't do it. Vayomer lo lech l'shalom. So Elisha gives him a heter, essentially. Right? And the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a whole discussion of this. Like, you know, does this prove that non-Jews are not obligated in Yehareg Val Yavor? Right? Because he says, like, you know, I'm gonna have to worship idols out externally. Internally, trust me, I only believe in God, but there's nothing I can do. So he says, Vayomer lech l'shalom, vayelech mito kivrat aretz. So he goes in peace. And what you see here is this, like I said, it's 21 psukim, or the 19 psukim rather, of A, education towards the world, of what it means to be a Navi, right? Not to be a political hack, right? Not to be in it for the money, but to be in it for God. And you see the power of humility, because Naaman, right, he goes from being this arrogant person to humbling himself, and that's when he's really cured. And sort of as Zakovich points out throughout the story, this hint of the power of humility is that constantly this high and mighty Naaman is only succeeds because he is willing to take the advice of the little people, right? And each time he listens to the little people and humbles himself, he's brought a step closer to actually being cured. But then what happens is this almost gets completely lost, or this almost gets totally torpedoed by Elisha's servant Gehazi, and therefore you get this flip story in the last few psukim of the perek. I said, what are you doing? Right? You didn't take money from Naaman. Look, it's not too late. I'll run after him. I'll get money. Like, this is a lost opportunity. Like, what is this? What?
I remember this
story. Yeah. I thought we did this parak, but I didn't see a record of it. Okay, whatever. So, Yechazer, it's okay. Yeah, whatever. It's been a long time. It's been a long time, and then we'll continue. So he says, right, look, I'll get some money from him, please. You know, I've added stuff since then anyway, so it's okay. If we did do it, we did it. Whatever.
No, it's good. I forgot that. This part I remember.
Yeah. So it could be we jumped to this also. I'm not totally sure, but I think we did this part. Anyways. Vayerdov gechazi achari Naaman, vayeren Naaman, ratz acharav, vayipol me'al kar makavad kratov, vayom ra shalom. So he sees him running, and he says, is everything okay? Vayomer shalom, Adoni shalachani lemor, hine ata zebo elai shnei narim mehar Ephraim b'mnei aneviim, tanana lahem kikar kezer sheichalakvod begadim. He said, yeah, it's all good, except there were some poor people who came and they needed money, they needed some clothes. Right? It's not for us, it's in staka. You know? It's not for us. Right?
But initially he didn't say he shouldn't go, no?
So it sounds like he actually didn't say it to, It sounds like he didn't actually say it to Elisha, right? He said it, stam, right? He just said, like, this is just a lost opportunity. Elisha, right?
Elisha didn't say you shouldn't go.
Yeah, so it sounds like maybe he's not even talking, because Elisha's going to criticize him in just a minute. Vayomer Naaman, ho el kach kikorim vayiv tzarbo, vayatzar kikraim kesef v'shnei charatim, chavod begadim, vayitain al shnei harav vayizu lefanav. So he gives it to him. You know, and he's happy to give it because, you know, I think we did talk about this. And he said, look, in the end of the day, it's better for him, right? He doesn't want to be beholden to Elisha. He loves giving a little money, right? Then, you know, exactly. He seems to be a little bit suspect because he sends his servants with him to see what's going to happen to this money. But Gehazi is on to him, so when they get home, he takes the stuff inside and sends them off, right? You know, he's not, he doesn't want them to see. V'hu vav ayamor al Adonav v'yom reylav Elisha me'ayin gechazi. But Elisha comes back and he says, Gechazi, where have you been? V'yom reylav alach avdecha anavana. What do you want? I didn't go anywhere. V'yom reylav lo libi halach kasher afach ish me'al merkavto likratecha. He said, please, I know exactly what you did, right? You went to that guy on the chariot, right? Was this the right time to take money? But because you did it, and, you know, either did or threatened the mission, right? Meaning you threatened our ability to really educate Naaman, make it clear that there are real Nevi'im, and that we don't care about money, right? So that same problem that stuck to Naaman, that evidence of his arrogance, now that you thought you knew better than me, you thought you knew how to educate better, right? Now you're going to pay the price. So now Naaman, that physical manifestation of his arrogance, is going to stick to you forever. And he leaves as a mitzora. And you get that because Gehazi really manifests that same, right, that same attitude that Naaman had before, right? I know better. Right, I know better, and yeah, Navi should take money, and you know all that. So he gets to be punished like Naaman. Okay, so that's. I thought we did Vav also. Honestly, I'm pretty sure I feel like we did Hay and Vav. No, Vav is the two stories.
In the middle of Vav, because I look at my books,
but
I forgot the story already.
That's fine. I mean, whatever. So we'll review it. I mean, I don't know if it sounds familiar to you, right? Vav was two stories, right? One is the axe, right? The axe that falls into the water. And the second one is when they try to capture Elisha. We definitely stopped. Okay, so we'll go back over Vav. That's fine. We definitely didn't get past. We definitely didn't do Zion. I don't think we did Zion. Zion is the Haftorah of the Arba Mitzrayim. I don't think we actually did that inside. I think you're right. We probably stopped in Vav. I mean, it's not bad to do review, but yeah. Okay. But that's Vav again then, or hey, whatever it was. Okay. Good. So well, it's good to learn again.
You can't.
So next week, right. Next week, I mean...
I'm actually away until next week.
Okay, I mean, maybe a different day, I don't know. Maybe, what, you're away the whole next week?
I'm leaving Monday night and back Thursday morning.
Okay, so maybe you'll be in touch, meaning my schedule is somewhat light when I'm in England, so maybe on like Friday or something in England.
That'll be nice.
Okay, so we'll be in touch.
Okay.
Busy there. Okay. Shkoyach.